Now or the Investigative Journal, and I just wanted to mention one program note. Go to arcticbeacon.com. That's my website, arcticbeacon.com, and you can listen to other interviews that I've done with Pastor Alamo, and you just go to my Investigative Journal archives. And what you can do then is put in Pastor Alamo, and you can listen to all of them. Because if you put them all together, there's a wealth of information. And we're going to talk a little bit right now with Pastor Alamo about the state of Bible believing in America, the state of Protestantism, the state of the Baptist Church, and the state of all these evangelist preachers who seem to be out there spreading the word of God, but yet supporting the illegal Bush war. What's your take on what's happening? Have they been infiltrated, like Father Alberto Rivera said?
I didn't get that question.
No, I said, have the churches been infiltrated, like Pastor Alberto Rivera said, Pastor Alamo?
Yeah, the first thing that he stated that the Vatican wanted him to do was to infiltrate churches with beautiful-looking girls or women and to tempt the pastors, because they know once that they can get the pastor to sin or to commit fornication with those girls, that then they are unable to call on God, because there's a wall of separation because of the sin of that, and the church has become destroyed. They use they're the devil. They know the exact they know the Bible. The devil knows the Bible, and they know the way that they are able to destroy pastors, and they know that they are able to cut you off from your being able to talk to the Lord. And then if that doesn't happen, then God can't come down and move for you. And so that's one of the things that he used to do. And he knew all about the different presidents, that they couldn't even run for office unless they would pay attention to the people that are running the presidents. So Ronald Reagan told me he was a puppet. He couldn't do anything. He says, "You can do more than I can, because you can talk without being immediately killed." If he did anything like that, he said he would be destroyed, just like later Kennedy was. As a matter of fact, they gave him a warning shot. They shot him and told him, "You get too cute, and we're gonna do you in." And Alberto knew about all those things, and he. My wife knew all about that as well, but Alberto, of course, was sent in as a Jesuit to undermine the different churches. Churches, if people ask the Lord to enter into their spirit and wash their sins away in the blood of Jesus, and if they believe the Bible that you can be perfect rather than what these different phony evangelists are saying, that no one is perfect, no one can be. If you're walking in the Spirit, you're perfect. Are you still there?
Yes, yes. I'm just I'm listening. And go ahead, go ahead. Did you have a Did you want to say something, Tony?
If they stay in the Spirit. Now the Lord tells us, and the Bible plainly explains, that our soul and our spirit cannot be fused together. There's the separation. The double-edged sword of the Word of God separates the soul and spirit. And even and the Lord, His Word does that. So we need to place ourselves on the altar, and we must die out to our old life, so that we're walking in the Spirit and not at all the soul and spirit being fused together. We must do that, but divide the soul from the spirit with the well-honed knife. The spirit, the sword of the Lord, is what our high priest, which is Jesus, wants us to do. And if we do, there's nobody that can come against us and destroy us. People are still being destroyed by these people. I'm not at all fearful that these people are going to take this church away out here. They're not going to do it. We're not at their mercy. They're at ours, and I'm warning them that God is going to destroy them. If they even try, they better put a screeching halt to what they're doing here. So our high priest, which is Jesus, a lot of people are praying to Mary. That's a horrible sin. The high priest, there's only one mediator to the throne of God, and that's Jesus. And if people do that, that'll put an end to all your troubles if you trust the Lord with all your heart, not your attorneys or not, you know, bearing arms against these people. If you trust the Lord with all your heart and do what he bids you to do, we have to commit ourselves to the cross. In other words, we die out, take up the cross daily and deny ourselves. And that's what people don't want to do. They want to live their own life. They think they're their own bosses. And but the Lord tells us, why should you be boss when you can't do what I can do? Jesus shall not fail to execute his ministry in separating our spirits and souls. If we allow the Lord to live in us, then their spirit life, the old soul life, will be destroyed, and we'll be living by our spirit. And those that worship the Lord must worship them with their spirit and in truth, which is the word. The Bible is God's written word. And the Lord Jesus uses teaching of the Bible to separate the soul life or our former life from the spirit, from our spirit life, so that we can worship the Lord in spirit. And you can read the Bible over and you'll see that anyone that really did exactly what the Lord said to do, none of them failed. They never failed. God protected them all the way. And so are we willing to follow the truth? That's a question that people have to ask themselves.
And that that therein is one reason why the Vatican wants to get rid of any kind of true Bible-believing church, correct?
Because the Bible-believing churches know that the Vatican and Rome is the city where the devil sits. It says that the city of the seven hills is where Satan's seat is, and that is where the Vatican is. And its colors are scarlet and red and gold. It's purple. And so are we ready to do what the scriptures teach us? I mean, people have gotten so far away from that because of all the media. They're pumping so much filth, degeneracy, and fallacy into people's brains that they can't think straight anymore. And they're running back and forth wondering what can we do. Nobody preaching a straight line. No one is straightening out people in reference to how they can defeat or how the Lord in them can defeat Satan. Can we obey the Lord in accordance with the teaching of Scripture without putting in our two cents? That's what too many people do. They put their two cents in. I can't put in my opinion or my two cents. God, if we just do what he says and lay ourselves on the altar and let him do his work in and through us, well, then we're going to have victory over every one of these Vaticanites, and there's millions of them.
One interesting
who the authority is.
Right. One interesting thing about your story, and we've talked about this before, but there's always new listeners and people picking up this show and sending it around. So I think it's good to go back and talk about how you found a God, because you knew Hollywood from the inside out. You weren't exactly, at one point in your life, a Bible-believing Christian. Tell us how it happened to you. And how this story just has blossomed over 40 years of preaching the word. I think people would find it interesting because many people think, well, what can I do? And your story is incredible, so why don't you just recap it for us? When you were sitting in that office in Hollywood with a bunch of actors and record producers, what happened to you?
Like you said, I was in the industry, and I had done the promotion for Sonny and Cher and all kinds of other artists. And it wound up where I was doing a promotion for a singer named Bobby Jameson. And an attorney in Beverly Hills wanted to have part of it. And some of the actors wanted to have a piece of the action of it, too. So from what they told me is that they owned a part of the Beatles. My attorney called me on that. So I said, I don't want to sell any part of this artist because he's really commercial. I mean, I believe he's as commercial. A lot of people don't, wouldn't know unless you heard the records that I still have on him. As a matter of fact, I own a Beatles album today, and I've never released it to prove to people that I'm not in the I'm not in the ministry for money. I could sell that Beatles album, from what I've heard, for $100 million. And it's an original Beatles album. But I was in his office. I finally went down, and on my attorney's request to this attorney's office, and there were people in there like Robert Mitchum and some heavyweights in the industry, McLean, Shirley McLean, and many others wanted a part of this. So I had an entourage of six motorcycle, L.A. Motorcycle police, LAPD, and I leased them from Utter McKinley Funeral Home out here, and I had a limousine, and we went in an entourage of 17 different people, a barber, people that would go around. It was just a big thing that I was doing to make people excited. They loved to see, to hear the bells and whistles and everything. And so finally I agreed to go down to this attorney's office, and we went up one flight of stairs on the Robertson Boulevard or someplace in Beverly Hills, and he greeted us, and all these movies started, and the police came in with me, and they had this attorney, he had my campaign in Billboard magazine. It started out with a quarter page ad and wound up with a four page spread in Billboard. That is very easy to, Billboard still has copies of it. And it was in September of, I think it was 1964. And so when I went in there, I didn't really want to have anyone invest in this man because I did the promotion and I wanted to go. And I knew that these records that we were releasing were going to hit number one everywhere. I mean, I released one about a half of the records on them, and they hit number one in many different places, Okie Podoki and all that, in Hawaii. And all these records were taken off. And so he said, oh, that's a great campaign you did. He says, but it looks like you need a little money. And I said, nah, I don't need any money. And he says, well, gosh, I'll just put it in escrow if you like. And I was just ready to tell him, no, if I'm going to take money from somebody, I want it in my saddlebags. I don't want anybody else to have it in escrow or anywhere else. And so right when I was going to tell him that, my ears shut off, and I felt this warm spirit come down on me. And I heard this voice talking through my body, not my ears, but my feet, my legs, my arms, my chest, everywhere, saying, I am the Lord thy God. Stand up on your feet and tell the people in this room about the Lord Jesus Christ and that he's coming back to earth again, or thou shalt surely die. And I'm Jewish, and I the name Jesus wasn't anything I wanted to hear, and I thought, this can't be God, because this is a, this can't be God. This is a business meeting, and God wouldn't mix business with the Bible or anything like that. And so I said, I must be going crazy. I'm a genius promoter, and you know, I know all kinds of stuff. And so what I'm going to do is just get out of here, check into a private sanitarium, and you know, make a few wallets or purses, or they do their finger painting. And I will then be okay and come out, because Don Gibson, a friend of mine, wrote a lot of big songs like I Can't Stop Loving You and everything. And another artist, cut his ear off in the trash and took it out and mailed it to his girlfriend. And everybody thinks he's a great person or anything. They don't think about whether you went to a sanitarium or not. And so I started to get up and check out, to get out of that office, and I couldn't get up. This warm force that was coming down on me took all the power or the strength out of my body, and I couldn't get up. And then the voice came again to all my parts and said, I am the Lord thy God. Stand upon your feet. This is the Lord thy God. Feet, and tell these people about the Lord Jesus Christ and that he's coming back to earth again, or thou shalt die. Well, then my mind opened up, and I knew that God knew every fiber of carpet, every molecule, every, not only the hair on your head, he knew everything that I had ever done in my life and all that. And I thought, if there's a God, there's a devil. I know, if there's somebody in this room that has some kind of a machine that's saying these things to me and all that. And so I said, I've got to get out of here. And so I pushed myself up, and I very feebly stood on my feet, and my breath started going in and out of my body. And so my heart started beating, it seemed like a foot out of my chest. And don't kill me, I was saying it inside my soul, because I didn't want the people in that office to hear me. I didn't mind going to a private sanitary and checking in very dignified, like, but I didn't want them to strap me down and have a squad of state insane asylum people coming in there with a butterfly net and put it over my head and taking me out. It would be very disgraceful. So I said, I'll tell him. So when he stopped pulling the breath in and out of me. And so I said, Lord, I'm saying it to him silently. In my mind, I said, don't make me tell it now, because these people are not going to believe me, what I'm saying. And if you want, I'll send them all wires and telegrams and cables or whatever you want tomorrow. And he started pulling the breath in and out, and I said, I'll tell him right now. And so the breath went back in. I said, look, you guys, I really was afraid. Nobody ever controlled me or could ever control me like this in my whole life. And I'm a very, bold person. I never was afraid of anything, not even death. But that scared me, because he let me know how many sins I committed and everything. I knew I was guilty, and I knew that he was telling the truth. And so I said, look, you guys, God is telling me to tell you that Jesus Christ went back to earth again. And I thought they just grabbed me. But they didn't. They just looked at me like it was a television screen or something like that. And then he brought down these crystal visions in front of me of, remember when you did the promotion for American Health Studios and Silhouette Figure Form, the world's largest chain of health studios? You said, this is the world's, add life to your years and years to your life. Join the American Health Studio. Lose 3.5 inches in 1 month on your stomach, and add on your waist, and put another 4 inches on your chest and 2.5 inches on your arm and all this kind of stuff. And then you did the 20 original hits. You were the first one to come out with that. Hi, this is Earl McDaniel from KFWB Radio. We have 20 smash hits on one big album for only so much money. And you did that, and you were selling that with all your heart. And here's Bobby Jameson, the world's next phenomenon, and so on. And now that you know I'm up here, that's all you're going to say is, God is telling me to tell you that Jesus Christ is coming back to earth. That's it. I says, oh, my God, I'm sorry. And so I knew I'm being dealt with now by the God. And so I started saying, my mind raced to a movie. I just walked in and walked back out. I heard one of the actors saying, Jesus, repent. Get down on your knees. So I started saying that, and my hearing started coming back in my ears. And I heard the Jewish attorney there saying, get him out of here. He's Meshigana. That means crazy in Hebrew. And so the Lord said, so I said, thank you for God, And so I started walking. Guys that were with me started following me out. And I was walking down the stairs, and Big Jim, who I got a job driving limousine for Sonny and Cher, he said, man, you put those people on a trip. That attorney's going to have to go to a mental institution. He says, boy, why did you put him on a trip? I said, Jim, that was, God was really talking to me. Just get out of here. Why would God talk to you? You're worse than all of us. I said, I know, and I have no idea why he's talking to me. But you guys get on those motorcycles, the bikes, and you get in the cars and take off. I had a couple of Cadillacs behind the limo and the Lincoln, And I told him to go, and he said, come on, get in the car. And I said, look, leave me alone. I want to be alone. And so they did that, and I started crying. I said, God, whatever it is that you want me to do, I know you're there now. Just tell me what to do, and I'll do it. It doesn't make any difference what it is. I'll do whatever you want me to do. And he didn't answer. And so I started going to all the different churches. I went to the Catholic Church, Sunset Boulevard, because it was the biggest, and I figured the biggest must be the best. And so by the time I figured that out, it was around 3 o'clock in the morning, and I went to the back of the church. I knocked on the door, and a nun came to the door. She said, what is it? And I said, I want to talk to the guy in charge here. She says, you can't talk to him. I said, get him, sister. I wasn't the type of person to back down from any, but nobody. I got whatever I wanted. And so she ran in, and got Father Babish came to the door with a bathrobe on. And he says, come on in, my son. And so I went in and told him just what I got through saying here. And he said, are you Jewish? And I said, yeah, why do you ask that? He said, well, you know, a couple of Jews came in and said they had supernatural experiences too, like similar to this, not as dramatic as that, but they said that they had this. I said, what do I do? And he says, just have it in your heart to be baptized. I said, how do you have it in your heart to be baptized? Why don't you just baptize me? He says, come on. He says, no, just have it in your heart to be baptized. And I said, what am I supposed to do? And he says, I don't know. I said, you people don't know anything. Yeah, I mean, I knew God better than he did, because God talked to me. I said, I thought you priests are supposed to be able to talk to God and get the answers. No, so I went from one church to the other, and about 3 months after that, it was Christmas Eve, and I had this vision of heaven and hell, and I got saved. I mean, I felt I didn't want to go to hell, and so I cried out to God, and I said, God, don't let me go there. Don't let me go there. Save my soul. And all of a sudden, this spirit came down into me, and it felt like a huge boulder went off of my back, and I felt so this tremendous, beautiful feeling inside my soul. I felt the spirit enter me, and I knew that I was saved, and I was so happy, but yet tears were running out of my eyes like a water faucet. I thought I was bleeding to death through my eyes, and I just kept looking up, and it was pouring down rain outside the night before Christmas. What a time to be born again. And I went out there and let rain fall on my face, because I knew it was coming from heaven. And it was such a... There's nothing more important to me in my whole life than to find out what God wanted me to do. And so I met my wife, and she...
You left your... You left your lucrative promotions business too. So then you meet your wife, and how did things go from there? Because boy, it's an incredible story going from Hollywood to the pulpit. Go ahead.
Well, I wound up on the streets passing out the literature. But anyway, my wife told me, Jesus is coming. She said, Jesus is coming back to earth again, Tony. And I said, what? That's how I met her. I said, how'd you find out? Did God come to you too? And she says, Tony, it says so all throughout the Bible. I says, will you show me? And she said, yeah. And so I said, can I bring other people with me? And she said, yeah. And so I told all the people that I knew around Eldo's and places like that. It was a restaurant on Hollywood Boulevard right next door to KFWB. And a lot of them came up there, and I gave them my testimony, and Susie preached to them, and got them down on their knees, and they became saved. And that started the Jesus movement back in 64. And all of a sudden, we wound up with, to make a long story short, we wound up with hundreds and thousands of hippies. And we became, they said we were a public nuisance on the Sunset Strip, because we were preaching the gospel where they had all these skin flicks out there, and, naked dancers and all that sort of stuff. And we, according to them, were the public nuisance. And so they told us that we had to move from our church in West Hollywood. So we found the place out there, highway in Canyon Country, and all the people came against us because it was hippies. We had some black people, and we had some brown people, and some yellow people, and some Jews. And so we ran into it up there with all those hillbillies up there. They just didn't, you know, we don't want no you-know-what out here. And so they started saying they were going to bulldoze down the building and everything. And so we were looking for other property out there, and we were all dressed up in nice. I had a nice suit on, and Susie had a nice dress. And they said, we're going to get them bulldozed so those hippies out of here, and then you'll be able to buy that place. And what they didn't know is that that was our place. And it's just been that way ever since. I mean, even before that, when we had Carlos Avenue, the sheriff department would come in, and people were speaking in tongues because they were receiving the bad spirit, and they were beating them over the head with belly clubs, and the people didn't even know it, and they threw us in jail. And the police at the West Hollywood Sheriff Department in downtown Los Angeles would come, you're just a big con artist, you know, doing this to make money. We didn't have a penny because I quit doing these promotions. I had a Beatles album, which I could have sold, but Susie told me the Lord doesn't want me to sell that. And so
that's the one you still have today, right?
What's that?
That's the album you still have today, correct?
Absolutely, yeah. I got that from Pete Best of the Beatles. He was the original drummer. I'm sure you know that.
And, yeah. You know, an interesting story. I had on my show a few years ago Lou Harrison. That was George Harrison's sister, and she was talking about George, and she mentioned that he wrote an album that hadn't an album that hasn't been put out yet right before he died, and it was implicating the Vatican in the New World Order. An interesting album that she told me about. But anyway, that's just an aside.
Wow, that's amazing. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And anyway,
yeah.
Bobby Jameson came back from England and said the Beatles wanted me to do their be their manager, and the Rolling Stones as well. Bobby Jameson was on my label, and he, when I just left the industry, he said, they want you to be their manager. And he says, see, you could do that and still be a Christian. I said, no, I can't. And it was no problem if I wanted to do it. I've had so many offers to do different things for different people, including the promotion for the entire Democratic Party. But as, back then, I didn't know anything about politics. And the people that were Kennedy's people, they came after me to Como. And then he was just killed around that same time, and then they still wanted me to be with them when Johnson was the president, Kennedy was killed. And I still refused them, and it looked like they were going to kill me. Those people are worse. Those Vaticanites, they make the mafia look like small potatoes, you know. They're just, they're the most wicked people that have ever lived on the face of this. The same people that nailed you.
Pastor Alano, let's take a short 3-minute break. We'll come back for our final half hour. Back to these short messages. We're back on the Investigative Journal. I'm your host, Greg Szymanski. My guest is Pastor Tony Alamo. And Pastor, we left off, you met your wife. She's schooling you in the Bible. What were your first initial thoughts when this was happening to you? Did you ever have any doubts about what transpired in that office? And how did you take to the Bible after a life of Hollywood fun and games? Go ahead.
Yeah, God gave me many other visions. I've written pieces of literature on them, and I've had so many supernatural talks with the Lord. I mean, he just come down and right the he put my wife and myself together with a very supernatural vision. and many other. And so I've actually seen him before my very eyes. There was like a stick of vapor came into my room. It was white. It was, the room was pitch dark. And Sue was, we were both in bed, and I was awake, and she was sleeping. She was so sick with cancer. And I saw this, and it was like a hissing sound when it came in. It was about one yard long, and it was right in the air. And all of a sudden, it turned in, it hissed and came into an oval-shaped mirror right in the air. And the Lord was sitting in there, and he started, I thought he was taking me, and I thought I'd be scared to death if I ever saw the Lord. But he looked just like a human being. It's, the Bible said that he made us in his image and likeness, and he looks just like a man. And he came into the world as a man, which Gospel of John stated, chapter 1, verse 14, says in the, well, first one, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verse 14, it says that he became flesh and dwelt among us. So there's many thousands of people that saw him as Jesus, of the man. And but God was in it. He was the God-man. But so I had all these visions, and this is the thing that's caused me to hold on, because I'm sure I would have doubted that situation in the office if I hadn't had all these other visions, seeing heaven and hell. And the things that he told me would come to pass have come to pass. And so these are the things, anchors that I hang on to. I know that other people are losing their courage to continue on in the Lord, but not me. I mean, I'm not, I really am totally filled with faith. I know that he is real, and I know that the things that he's shown me are real because they've come to pass. This vision that we were getting the Bible read to us by Susie in her apartment, and one day I had this horrible toothache, and I was asking her if she had a new dentist. She said, I'll take you in the morning. So I went to a store, and I went and got a package of these cookies, pinwheels. Mm-hmm. And the chocolate so rich on it, it made my tooth ache so bad, and I was staying up waiting for the apartment to open up so I could go there and with the other people. And it opened up, and so I went in there, and I sat down on a couch, and the toothache went away. And it, I had been up all night long, and I went into a deep sleep, and all of a sudden, this like a television screen came right in front of me in my dreams, and it was in full color, and it was Sue with short hair. She had long hair before, and here's short hair, and her lipstick was really red, and her eyelashes were dark and everything, and she had on a velour trousers and a velour blue trousers and a red velour top, and it showed me walking into the room, and I knelt down by the couch, and I started kissing her, and I pushed myself, and I said, no, not my Bible teacher. And all of a sudden, this I was seeing that while I was pushing up, and I could see it was awake. And then all of a sudden, this I felt this spirit come down into my heart. My heart up, and it was, and he put love in there. It was miles and miles of love. And I said, Lord, no, she's too smart for me. And he said, that's good for your ego. I thought, man, I didn't know I had an ego. And then thousands of questions came out of my heart in a pipe, like a golden pipe that was going up to the heaven. And then this golden other pipe was coming down, pouring answers. Millions of, it seemed like questions were coming out of my heart, and millions of answers were coming back so fast that I couldn't even tell what the answer or questions were or the answers were. And then all of a sudden the vision turned to black and white. It was like black background, and it looked like Susie's profile and my profile, my left profile and her right profile, and we were still kissing. And but it wasn't wrought iron. It was like white hot iron, white hot, and it was shimmering. And I heard this thing, like that, and it went right into my heart. It just sealed it up and made me know that this is really God. And when I was saying, Lord, after all those questions are coming out, this puffs of like smoke or cloud came down on me saying, it's true, 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 it's true. And after that happened, I said, I laid right back down with my face down, and I said, I'm going to know if she knows. If I see her, I'll know if she knows. And when I felt her presence come in, and I looked up, and I saw this horrified look on her face, because she's 9 years older than me, and she looked horribly frightened, and I turned back. I knew she knew. That's it. She knows. And so she started, I got up, and her hair was cut. During the night, she had cut her hair. She had gone to beauty school a long time ago, and she knew how to fix her hair. And it was cut just like in the vision. And so we started walking to the dentist's office, and my toothache went away. So we went and had a little breakfast, and I said, well, let's go over to Music City on Sunset and Vine and play some gospel music. So we did, and she kept, on the way down there, I said, you know, I had this weird dream, vision last night. She said, what was it? And I knew. I said, well, you know what it is. And she said, I know, but I told the Lord to tell you that if it's really him, that you have to tell me what it was, and then I'll receive it, because she said, I had visions too. What she saw was the same night, the same morning, all morning and clear through the night, this vision of her and I walking through this arbor with these great big roses with dew falling off of them, and she was in a wedding dress, and I was in a tuxedo, and she said, but he's too, she was fighting it just like I was, and she said, he's too young in the Lord, and the Lord answered back and said, yes, but he's strong. And then she kept calling out, and she said, well, Lord, I know that this can't be real unless you make him. If this is really you, you make him, you tell him, and then make him tell me, then I'll receive it. And so that's how it happened. And then finally she kept bashing me while we were at Music City playing records, and I says, okay. I says, you and me, Las Vegas. She said, that's right. And she hooked her arm with mine, and she marched me outside of that. And she had been saved 25 years before me, and she was saved because she saw visions of the Lord coming back to earth again. And before that, she was in a dying of tuberculosis, and the angels were filling the room in this little house in Dyer, Arkansas. And the whole town knows about it. And she saw angels, guardian angels, around her bed up in like clouds and everything. And she saw this nail-pierced hand come down out of the cloud and touch her chest. And she was healed. And she got hungry. She hadn't eaten for days. And they opened up her uncle's grocery store in Dyer there, little old country store, and got her some potted meat and some pickles. And then later, when she was married to me, her arm got sprained, and I took her to Dr. Vampa in Hollywood, to the chiropractor, and he called me on the phone and said, Tony. I said, what? He says, Susie, your wife's lungs are like masses of scar tissue. They're like black. I said, yeah, that happened when she was 6 years old. She had tuberculosis, and the Lord healed her from that. So my wife had a very strong experiences with the Lord. You know, there isn't time enough to tell of all the different things that happened to us down through the years, but the Lord has delivered us from all of them, and he's given us the strength. And I think we're having a
what's that?
We're in the hotel here, and they're having a having a fire department emergency evacuation for the staff here. And it's only a drill, so
you can stay for the last 15 minutes, right?
What's that?
You don't have to evacuate the hotel, do you?
No, it's just for the help that work here. But they
I didn't realize. We talked about the IRS charge that when you spent 4 years in jail, but I didn't realize how they tried to persecute you so bad until I looked at this page on your website at alamoministries.com, false accusers against Tony Alamo. And you're so open with everything, but it's just page after page of cases they've tried to bring against you.
This sound in here is just so, it's very hard for me to hear.
I have a hard time too because it's vibrating through the.
Not that. Okay, in the other room, Tom. I'm telling him to stop doing that. Okay, now I'm back with you.
I looked at your page, False Accusers of Tony Alamo, and I didn't realize, you know, you talked about how the that cult awareness group tried to frame you, but they've been after you for 30 years. I can't believe all these charges that you've fought against and then been vindicated of. I mean, it goes on and on. In every area, have you been able to cope with this and defeat them? I mean, people, you need to go and look at this page. Just incredible. From California to Arkansas to Texas, they have tried to stop you from preaching the Word of God, correct?
Oh, absolutely. That's just another division of the Vatican, the Cult Awareness Network. And my attorney is the one that destroyed them. He came against them for the Scientology Church hired him to do it, and that's before I ever knew him. And God just raised him up to destroy the Cult Awareness Network. Now they opened up another place. Where's that place, the Cult Awareness Network? It's some other place, you know. They were destroyed. Scientology Church has all their records. What they are is just a group of people that were once topless barmaids and homosexuals, and they're all Catholics. And it's just a division of the Catholic cult. And
right.
So that's who it was. And so but to be able to cope with it, because I've had so many supernatural experiences with the Lord, there's no way that I could fall away, because I know that if a person knows the Lord and then they fall away back into the world because they're afraid of Satan or this world or the Vatican or the media, God would send a person's soul to hell, because he says, just get the Spirit of God in you, just get my Spirit in you, and I will rescue you. And he has all these years. This is going on 43 years this month that supernatural experience happened to me back in 1964. And so it's no problem. I don't even worry about it, because I know I do what little I can. And he tells me, don't hire an attorney for this thing or that thing. And so Scientology paid for Eric Lieberman, a New York attorney, and he literally tore them from one end to the other. What they had done, the Cult Awareness Network, is captured. They went and kidnapped one of the Scientologists, and they beat him. And what they've done is raped a lot of people. They take their Bibles away from them, and they deprive them of food, and they use what they call... it's like the same thing, brainwashing tactics on them. And what they do is accuse the Christians for doing the same thing, because there's such a radical change in a Christian when they get saved that people believe that they've been brainwashed. But I was offered all these things in the industry and had that, and there was a radical change in me, but it wasn't any human being that brainwashed me. It actually was supernatural experiences from God. And yet, now, if I'm such a, you know, I went crazy or something like that, then why are all these presidents asking me questions? And why am I still after all these persecutions, been able to stand. Not by myself, but it was the Lord that delivered me, just like he will everybody. There's all these sicknesses, diseases, and infirmities in the world today, and if people would just trust God, and people are broke, and we're not. We don't even know that there's a problem if it wasn't for the people that we're helping. People reach out to us for help, and we give it to them, and we thank God we have the money to take care of it, you know? And this is, so therefore, if they're broke, now this, like this police officer and a whole bunch of police officers came in to try to get my son out of the church. They didn't know who they were talking to. And of course, my son is training to take over this work. Anything should happen to me. I don't know. And if anyone killed me, to me that would be, I don't care, because I know I'm saved. I know I'll go right into heaven. The minute that my spirit leaves me, I'm in heaven. And it's paradise forevermore. There's no more IRS. There's no more Vatican. There's no none of these evil people there. And I look forward to the day that I go out to meet the Lord and be in heaven. I mean, this is what I'm working for. This is why I'm steadfast. I don't want to spend eternity after all the persecution I've been through. I don't want to spend eternity in the lake of fire, swimming around in there forever and ever. I know I'm saved, and I know that God exists, and I know that he's coming back to earth again soon. Jesus is coming. I thought he was coming back to earth again very close to the time that he told me that, because he said he's coming back to earth again. But, gosh, it's been 43 years, and I'm waiting patiently or impatiently, whatever. I'm not going to get impatient. Let him come when he wants to come. And so everybody that seems so troubled and everything, just the Lord says for you to cast all your cares upon him. And why? He says, because I care for you. I'm your creator. I'm your savior. I'm your deliverer. I'm your protector. I'm everything. I've gone, Sue and I went to the valley of the shadow of death many, many times. And God always pulled us up. And the Lord let her go. She wanted to leave. She wanted to go. She was, like I said, 9 years older than me. And she was tired of fighting these bunch of people, these wicked, the Vaticanites and all the other people that are with them. And so it was a blessing for her to go to heaven. And a lot of people look at it that way because they're not saved. You know, they're afraid of death. I'm not.
Exactly. Now, Pastor, I mean, you pass out a lot of brochures all over the world, and you say that's an effective way to get the message across. But also, many people might not be aware you're on many radio stations every day of the week. What could they expect if they listen to one of your radio shows? What do you try to pass along on a weekly basis to people in America and overseas? Go ahead.
What I do is I teach them a deeper, like most people say that even universities have my literature in them. They say that I have a deeper, higher than university level of teaching. And so they file all my literature. It's like, I would say there's hundreds of pieces of literature, and a lot of them are now storing the CDs and the tapes. And there's also universities opening up with just strictly my literature, evangelical universities in Africa and India. And it's just interesting. They put my literature together, and it's like volumes of things, so that I know that I've made a difference. God, through me, has made a difference in this world, and our people. Our people are out there delivering literature. If it wasn't for them, you know, no matter what I've written wouldn't be of any value whatsoever. It has to get to the people. And the Lord said, if the people, if you get this literature out to the people in the world, you will not be destroyed. But if you don't, you will be destroyed. The thing that the Vatican cannot stand is to be exposed. And that's why they put an end to the Bible in the schools. They don't want to be exposed. The Word of God exposes them very clearly. And our people like you and others and myself, we expose them. And that's why they're so desperately attempting to do away with us. And but God, if we're faithful to him and we don't, you know, get back into the old life, he will protect us and we'll have a long life. If time goes on, if it goes on, we're going to have a ripe old age, because there's so few people that have the nerve to come up against this dreadful monster, this machine of Satan, which is the Vatican. The Vatican, its world government, and the media. That's the big combo.
That's the big three. The Vatican, the world governments, and the media. And And the next one?
The devil runs all three of them, so that's four. The devil, the Vatican, mm-hmm. the world government, and the media.
Yeah, and over the years...
I'm sorry I interrupted you.
No, I said over the years you've alerted millions of people to this, and I wanted to mention, right, we have about a minute or two, what's the next step with the Savior Church in Canyon Country?
Well, the Bible says to resist Satan and he'll flee from you. If you just flee from him, well, then God says you don't believe his word. His word says, resist Satan and he'll flee from you. He even says that the wicked flee when no one pursues. So how much more when we pursue Satan and his big combine, Satan, his cult in Rome, the world government, which the Bible says these three and the media are the mother of every evil sin on the face of this earth. If there's anything going on like the Civil War, it's from the Vatican. First World War, it was from the Vatican. World War II is the Vatican. All the trouble that you see on the earth today is coming from the Vatican. And
Pastor Luomo, that's very good. And a good message. We're all out of time. We'll have you on again. Thanks for being on the show.
Well, thank you very much, Greg. Appreciate it.
Okay. Pastor Tony Luomo. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place.